Chapter 14. Last night, the trapdoor demon had heard Detlef and Genevieve talking about him. Papa Fritz had reminisced about the days before he began to alter, the days when he'd been Bruno Malvoisin. The playwright he had been seemed now like another person, a role he had cast off with his human flesh. In the passage behind the rehearsal rooms, where he was able to look in on the company at work, he stretched his major tentacles to their utmost length. Usually, he wrapped himself in a cloak and held the centre of his body high, imagining a belly and two human legs below his chest. Today, he let himself flop naturally, six tentacles spreading like the pad of a water lily, the clump of his other external organs and the hard blades of his beak protected by the leathery tent of his body. There was very little of Malvoisin left. In the rehearsal room, Detlef was reading notes to the company. This morning he had few comments, distracted by the swirl of events around the play rather than fully involved in the drama itself. The trapdoor demon was puzzled by Eva. His protégé sat aside as usual, Reinhardt hovering guiltily while paying overdone attentions to Ilona. Eva was calm and in control again, different from last night. It was as if she'd never seen his true form. Or maybe she'd found the strength in herself to accept what she had seen. Whatever the case, she wasn't concerned this morning with the monster she had met last night. A few of the chorus girls had been prattling about a murder outside the theatre. The trapdoor demon knew nothing of that, except that he'd eventually be blamed. As Malvoisin, he had written about evil, about how attractive it could be, how seductive a path. When he began to change, he had thought that he had himself succumbed to Sally's temptations, as Diogo Brizac in Seduced by Slaneshi had to his own private demons. Then, as he became less bound by human thinking, he came to recognise there was no more evil in him when his shape changed than there had been before. In a sense, he'd been freed by his mutation. Perhaps that was the laugh line of Zeench's jest at his expense, that he could only be aware of his humanity once his human form was buried in a morass of squiddy, altered flesh. Still, he realised that for others, Warpstone was a polluter of the soul as well as the body. Watching Genevieve, who was herself watching Detlev with a new attentiveness, the trapdoor demon wondered whether a Warpstone shard had shot into his protégé. Eva Savinian had changed, and she was changing still. He had allowed the company to break up for lunch and told them they did not have to come back until the evening's performance. The strange history of Dr. Zykiel and Mr. Chaida was rolling of its own accord now, and Detlef was almost at the point when, even if everything else were not falling apart, he would have been prepared to let it alone. Long-run shows develop by themselves, finding ways to stay alive. He was even grateful to Eva Savinian, whose unpredictable luminescence was prodding everyone in the company in unexpected directions. Ilona, for instance, was suggesting that she might have the makings of a tragic heroine as she slipped into the age range for roles like the Empress Margrethe or Ottokar's wife. In Papa Fritz's rooms he found Genevieve, surrounded by unscrolled maps, weighted down at the corners with books and small objects. She was with the stage doorkeeper and Guglielmo, trying to make sense of the diagrams of the tunnels under the theatre. "So," she said, "we're agreed? This one is a deliberate fraud, to be found by the enemies of someone taking refuge." The older-looking men nodded. "It's too clearly marked," Guglielmo said. "Obviously, it's designed to get anyone who relies on it hopelessly lost, possibly even to lead them into traps." "What are you three conspirators up to?" Detlef asked. "Plotting to join Prince Klojowski's revolutionist movement?" "I'm going to try to find him," Genevieve said. She was dressed in clothes Detlef had not seen her wear in years. In Altdorf, she was usually found in subdued but elegant finery, white silks and embroidered Cathayan robes. Now she wore a leather hunting jacket and boots, with sturdy cloth trews and a man's shirt. She looked like Violetta, disguised as her twin brother, in Taradash's Hex Nachtabend. Im, Malvoisin. The Trapdoor Demon, Papa Fritz explained. In the gloom, the old man looked like a crumpled parchment himself. Je ne. Why? I think he's suffering.
The whole world is suffering.
I can't do anything about the whole world.
What can you do for this creature, even if he is Bruno Malvoisin?
Talk to him. Find out if he needs anything. I think he was as frightened as Eva by what happened. Papa Fritz rolled up the fake map and slipped it into its tube, coughing in the dust that belched from it.
He's some kind of altered Genet. His mind must be gone. He could be dangerous.
Like Varga was dangerous, Detlef? Varga Bruegel had been Detlef's stage manager and assistant. A dwarf born of normal parents, he'd been with the actor-playwright-director since the beginning of his career. In the end, he'd turned out to be an altered thing of chaos and had killed himself rather than be tortured by a stupid man. Like you were dangerous? Detlef had been born with six toes on one foot. His merchant father had remedied the defect in early childhood with a meat cleaver. Like I am dangerous? She opened her sharp-toothed mouth wide and made play claws of her hands. Then she dropped her monster face. You know as well as I do that warpstone sometimes just makes a monster of you on the outside.
Very well, but take some of your bruises with you.
Genevieve laughed and crushed a prop candlestick into a squeezed ball of metal. I'd only have to look after them, Detlef.
It's your life, Genet, he said, wearied. You do what you want with it.
I certainly intend to. Papa Fritz, I'll go in here, tapping a chart. From the stalls, we'll have to break open this old trapdoor. Genet, he said, laying a hand on her shoulder. A child sometimes, she was also ancient. She kissed him, quickly. I'll be careful, she said. Reinhard Jessner knew he was being a fool, but couldn't help himself. He knew he was hurting Ilona and would be hurting their twins, Erzbet and Rudy. In the end, he was hurting himself most of all. But there was something about Eva. She was in his blood like snake poison, and it couldn't be sucked out with a simple bite. Since the first night of Dr. Zykil and Mr. Chaida, the bane was creeping through him. He had known it at the party afterwards. One or other of them was always going to make a move. It had been her, but it could as easily have been him. He felt physically sick when he was away from her, unable to think of anything, of anyone else. And when he was with her, there was a different kind of pain, a gnawing guilt, a self-disgust, an awareness of his own foolishness. The more he loved Eva, the more certain he was the girl would leave him. He could do nothing more for her. He was a stepping stone, half sunk in the stream. There were larger, sturdier stones ahead. Eva would go on to them. They had snatched a few hours together away from the theatre in the afternoon, rutting in the hot dark behind the drawn curtains of her upstairs room. She had already outpaced and outworn him, slipping into an easeful sleep, while he, exhausted, lay next to her in her narrow bed, mind crowded and uncomfortable. This was not the first time, but it was the worst. Before, Ilona had known but been able to bear it. The other girls had not lasted. Could not last. He had half thought Ilona had encouraged him to be unfaithful, and they had been better together afterwards than before. Theatrical marriages were difficult and usually foundered. Little diversions gave them strength to carry on. Now, Ilona was in tears all the time. At home, the twins were forever fighting and demanding. He spent as little time there as possible, preferring either to be with Eva or at the Temple Street Gymnasium, fencing and lifting weights. Eva shifted beside him, and the covers fell away from her sleeping face. Daylight dotted in through the rough weave of the curtains, and Reinhardt looked down at the girl. An ice kiss touched him. As she slept, Eva looked strange, as if there was a layer of thin glass stretched over her face. Reinhardt caught strange, almost reflections in the surface. He touched her cheek and found it hard, like a statue. As his fingertips pressed, the quality of her skin changed, becoming yielding, warm. Her eyes opened, and she took his wrist in a surprisingly strong grip. He was truly afraid of her now. Eva sat up, pushing him back against the plastered wall, her warm body against his, her face empty of expression. "Reinhardt," she said, "there are things you must do for me."